As my two predecessors already just explained a lot, sometimes I might repeat what they have said, but let's just think by repetition that there really will be the memory, frappé toujours. The Libraries for the Blind section, I will tell you a little bit about the Libraries for the Blind section of IFLA in general. I will tell you what we do, how we do it, for whom we do it. I give you some examples, and then what we like from you and what you can expect from us. The IFLA Libraries for the Blind section constitutes of 85 library organizations worldwide in 39 countries all around the world. And that's from Australia to the United States to Japan to South Africa, Zambia, so Sri Lanka, so all around the world. We are a very active section within IFLA. And we have relationships with the World Blind Union and also with the DAISY Consortium. As a matter of fact, many of the library organizations of our members are the founding members of the DAISY Consortium. And so is FMB on the board of the DAISY Consortium. And we are here together because we unite our voices, because it's very important to speak as one, to really just make sure that that you understand what the issues are. What do we do? We serve blind and visually impaired people, but we serve all print impaired people. So anybody who cannot read a newspaper or a book the regular way, either because he or she cannot see the pages or they cannot turn the pages, for example, like motorically handicapped people, or they can't make the words together, that's like dyslexic people. So it's a huge group of people. What do? We transform the regular print into braille and into audio. And it will be either in soft, you know, kind of, hard copy, which is the braille paper, or the audio cassette, or the audio on the CD-ROM, or it might be in a kind of soft way. It's like digital text that can be read with the computer, with synthetic speech, or with enlargement software, or with braille display. I will show you later on a few examples so that you can just see what we mean instead of just having to try and figure it out yourself. The materials we transform are materials for lifelong learning. It's for leisure reading, so many books, leisure books, newspapers, periodicals, study materials. For example, in the Netherlands, all the students and all the pupils from the lowest type of school grade, they just get books from us. And whether they are blind or dyslexic, they get the books from us. Reference works, etc. So to give you some examples, what you see here is the catalog we make of newspapers and periodicals. You see three versions. One is the enlarged with large letters. The second one is the braille copy, and you see the cassette copy. And here you see a talking book. It's on an 8 cassettes. Normally a talking book, a regular reading book, has about 7 to 8 cassettes of about 80 minutes per cassette. And there you see, next to it, you see the CD-ROM, which is the DAISY, which Francisco explained to you. So you already see the huge, it's a lot better, it's a lot easier than this big box with 8 cassettes in it. Here you see a digital newspaper. And it's in XML format, and it's read with the PC, and here it's not read with the speech synthesizer, but here it's read with the refreshable braille display. So when somebody reads his newspaper, or when the wife reads her newspaper, the husband can read his via in this way. This is a digital text, which is in the XML format. And this one can be read with a special XML reader, so it's encrypted, can be, so you can read with the XML reader and with adaptive technology. And what I will try to do, I'm saying, I will try to just play it with synthetic speech, so you have an idea how somebody who cannot read the text still can read it. I'm just... doesn't work. Henri? Anyway, I will continue because otherwise I will lose too much time. But just wanted to give you an example on how synthetic speech sounds. It's very audible, but at the same time, of course, you lose the soft touch of the human voice in there. So it's just more on an even tone. Okay, I will just go to the next one. Because that's the problem. I said to Henri, which is the gentleman who looks after all these equipment, Henri, I'm trying to go to the next one, and I told you that might also be a problem. Okay. Good. We might, you know, at the end, or otherwise we won't. Okay, what I already said is that we transform content from print to alternative formats. And there are many ways of doing it. You can do it with simple production techniques, or we have very advanced production systems. For the DAISY, you have an advanced production system. You can do it from a manual machine, which is the Perkins, which is still used in many parts of the world. And you can just also go to automated file conversion software of publishers' files. We have volunteer narrators at home, but we also have them in professional studios. If you look at the libraries for the blind, some are national libraries and publicly funded, some are charity-based, and some are privately owned. But, you know, for all of them and for all other clients, it is that in any society, exposure to books and reading, learning, is the determinant for success. And that's for any society, that's for any person, so that's also for a person who cannot read print the regular way. The libraries for the blind, we have different functions. We have the function of the public library. We have the function of the university library. We have the function of the bookstore, of the university bookstore. We have the function of the publisher of newspapers. So many different functions we fulfill. David already mentioned, only 3 to 5% of what is available to you in print or to people in print is available in alternative formats. We also, Francisco said, we have limited resources and it's very expensive to produce a book. He gave some examples. My figures might differ slightly, but gives you an idea. A regular reading book in Braille will cost you about €300 to just transform it. If you want to print it, it will cost you about €42. If you want to make an audio book, it will cost you about between 700 and €1,000 for an audio book. If you want to do a study book in Braille, it might cost you anywhere between 1,000 and €10,000, depending on the difficulty of the material. If it's mathematics, it's incredibly difficult. So this gives you an idea that, you know, we really need to share our resources. And very often, libraries for the blind have to make two collections, because one book, the same book in audio and in large print, or the same book in audio and in Braille. Our distribution is less expensive because we still have an agreement with the Postal Union that does it for free. But we also start using the internet more and more. Here's some examples. This is a Perkins Brailler. So you just, all the characters were just made in this one just by typing the characters. So it's very labor intensive, as you can imagine. Here you have an audio studio. This is a professional studio. And the readers, the narrators, always first read the material to understand what they are saying. This is a studio for periodicals, because you see two microphones. Because if you read a periodical, like, for example, Marie-France or Elle or Cosmopolitan, you want to have different voices in there to give the different feelings. For example, if you talk about what men just like most in women, you don't want to have a female voice reading that part. So you just, you know. This is still the reproduction process of the cassettes. So you can also see that it's very labor intensive. For example, if we have a magazine, every week we have the magazine. And so you have 1,000 copies, you have to make 1,000 copies, and you check the each copy just for 2 seconds on what the sound is like. So by January 1, also at FMB, we go completely away from the cassette. But this, so here you see a CD-ROM burner, so the CD-ROMs will be burned. The process itself is more expensive, but at the same time, you don't have all that labor anymore. This is for our study books, which are all in the DAISY format at the moment. And like Francisco already said, you can jump through the book. So for a study book, you can just read it. You go from page to page, you can from chapter, you go back to paragraph. So it's really ideal. So what you see here is the conversion process of publishers' files to accessible formats. And we can just make it into printed braille, or we can make it into digital text in XML format. And here you see that from the Quark Express files, we make XML, and that goes then onto the website. Then we come to our newest delivery channel, of course, which is the internet. And this is the page of the FMB web portal. And this gives the FMB web portal gives access to the online collection and, you know, many libraries for the blind, because we are working together on all this. So they have the same type. So, but it gives you an ID how then people who just can't read print regularly just can still read it. It gives access to the online collection of study books, of the study materials. And to give you an ID, last year, for example, at FMB, the study books were downloaded 8,000 times. This year, in the first 7 months, they were all downloaded already 15,000 times. So you can see there is a need for this type of material. But there also, you can just put newspapers on it, magazines, and which is very important, of course, the access to this type of material is permitted only to people that are print impaired. So anybody from the regular public cannot access the material, which at the same time is, of course, then safeguarding anybody who holds copyrights. So whom do we serve? It was already said, people of all ages. So from young ones, people going to school, working adults, but the biggest group are the seniors, because people are getting older, and they're losing their sight. And they really don't want to be called blind, but, you know, they still need our services. But people that are getting less vision at an older age, they cannot learn Braille anymore, because their fingertips are just, you know, they're just, they're used, so they cannot really learn it anymore. So they depend on audio for their information. But also the clients, like already said, people with a physical handicap, disease, learning disability. And here I got carried away on the numbers, because if you add them, you come to 110%. But anyway, it's about 85% is visually impaired, and about 10% physical handicap, because you have, it's, or five, because there is overlap between those two groups. But of course, we come to 100. We, of course, want to cooperate with publishers and with property protection. And what we can do, we can create a trusted environment. Like, for example, the DAISY, it's that you can only read it, it's safeguarded. Or like, you have to be a client from our libraries, otherwise you cannot use it. But at the same time, we would like to develop a mechanism to share books and files. Like, yeah, we want to read the books that are produced in the United States. People always say that we Dutch people, that we just speak all the languages and that we speak English. But, you know, people that are print impaired still want to read, and they just need the study books from the States to really just do their studies. We want to get electronic content from publishers, but at the same time, we want to control the costs. And of course, we want to pay, but we just don't want to pay high amounts. We just want to pay the handling fees, because nobody should lose because or lose money because we want to have their materials. I'll give you some examples of how we work together with publishers. For example, the Audible.com from the United States works together with the Cleveland Public Library. The CNIB, the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, works together with Random House for their files. And we, as F&B in the Netherlands, we work together with a big newspaper conglomerate, PCM called, and we get all their files. So that's why our people can read the newspaper at the same time anybody else can read them at home. At the moment, I was trying to do it a little bit fast, but I should tell you something about what we have in the Netherlands. We do have an agreement with the publishers organization in the Netherlands, which is a kind of copyright exception. We accept that we just need each other. And it's a fantastic agreement because it allows us to produce and deliver, and we don't really have to ask for the license. We give them a controlled circulation, or they allow us a controlled circulation to the print impaired. We have the licensing arrangement, and we report figures of production and frequencies of circulation. And this is, of course, very important to them, because if it turns out that there are more people that really would like to acquire our books, and we are going to work together with the public libraries, at some point the publishers might say, okay, now we are also going to have audiobooks introduced into the Netherlands, because at the moment we don't have, the bookstores don't have audiobooks, like Francisco already told you. Okay, let me just continue then. If you look at intellectual property protection measures, if you would really install them, then all libraries for the blind worldwide would really have a problem. Because then we would again, and David already said that too, we would again have to start labor-intensive procedures to request permission for each transcription. And if I tell you that in the Netherlands, we transcribe about 4,000 study books into Braille and about 1,500 into audio, and we have about 2,000 a year regular reading books, then it tells you it's really a labor-intensive process just to get the permission. If it's production in exclusive or closed formats, then it's not accessible to people. Like a PDF file, it's not accessible to people with a print impairment. Their software doesn't work on it. If you just put a technical protection measure, that sometimes also might hinder accessibility, because suddenly the speech synthesizer doesn't work anymore. And what we already talked about, it's the international exchange, which is prohibited now. It might then be even more prohibited. So what we really want from you is that you look at the exception for materials for the print impaired. So I'm going further than, for example, the blind and the visually impaired. We say the print impaired, because a motorically handicapped person still needs that same material. An aphatic person still needs the same material. Dyslexic still needs it. We want you to make it possible for us to share access to books and to the information globally. Make it possible to use the Daisy book from the US or from France. Make sure that the technical protection measures, that they do not prevent the exercise of this exception. And please harmonize in international copyright so that we can share our contents. We, of course, offer you a trusted environment, because you have to be sure that it's not abused, not misused. We will report on the use and the circulation. And of course, we will cooperate with you and just help you with telling what kind of measures you can do to to safeguard intellectual property. And we will just consult you, help you, advise you, and work together with the publishers in publishing for all. That's my presentation. I will have to excuse myself because I will have to run. I have to catch a flight at 1 o'clock because there's a government meeting and I have to attend to. But my deputy director, he is in the back. Can you stand, Maarten? Maarten Verboom is here. If you have questions, he is there and he will be here also tomorrow. So thank you very much.